Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of Total Football Debate. It's just the two of us this week, but not the usual two. Jason's got a case of the miserables, I think we can call it. Apparently he's ill. Apparently.
Nothing to do with Brighton.
Not at all.
Nothing to do with Palace. Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. To be fair, I didn't even know anything had happened with Brighton or Palace. That would warrant Jason not being here. But no, in all seriousness, Jason's obviously not feeling too good. We've hit the winter months, so it's going to happen quite often, I'd imagine. And Cookie is, of course, on his off week where he's at work, or he's probably watching the Arsenal game. And who would want to do that? I'd much rather be here any day. So it's me and Cossie this week for the first time. It's just us two, I believe, mate.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so you can say anything and no one will be offended.
Yeah,
no one.
Exactly.
I'm waiting. Bury them. But it goes from one drastic to the other because it's me and you this week, and then no doubt it'll be all four of us again next week. So we've been left a bit of a short story, mate, because we've not only got to cover one game week with just us two, we've got to cover two, of course, which makes it fun. But then again, it's probably been one of the best 2 weeks of football. Well, not even 2 weeks, two games of football that I've watched, because I don't know about you, but I absolutely love Amazon Prime.
Mate, it's
hosting
incredible.
The games.
Like I sent you that picture of my living room. We literally do have two big tellies on the wall 24/7. That's exactly what it's for. You put one game on one game on the other. If you've got the iPad, stick it on there. You are laughing, honestly. Absolutely loving life.
It amazes me that still in this day and age of a world where streaming is the be-all, end-all, and Netflix is more important these days than people having life insurance on their mortgage. You know, how have we still not got a Premier League subscription service where we could pay a monthly fee and watch every game? Because it's not until something like this happens on Amazon Prime where I realise how much I enjoy watching football. You know, I don't like the hand. I mean, I think you raised a perfect point that there was three games on Sunday at 2 o'clock and not one of them were on TV.
Absolute joke. Obviously, I tweeted about this a few times and someone replied with, oh, it's not every week they have a Sunday. It's like, yeah, but Super Sunday is named for two big games. And even if you get one average game in it, you watch both games. It's your afternoon sorted. And they say, oh, but Europa League this, Europa League that. Yeah, but doesn't that open the perfect opportunity to have a Sunday game at 2 o'clock regardless? It's an absolute joke as to why there wasn't one. I know there's a Championship one, but sometimes they even have a Championship one. Premier League one at 2, a Premier League one at 4, 4:30.
Well, they have a Sky Sports Premier League channel for a reason, didn't they? So, surely you show one on the Sky Sports Football channel and the other one on the Premier League. I mean, I'd hate to be someone that's paying these, Sky fees, and then you get to a Sunday and your Sky Sports Premier League doesn't even have a game on. Bit of a joke, but I do look forward to the packages being released and seeing that Amazon, I would like to think that Amazon Prime are going to snap one up and hopefully get a bit more behind their belts, because only is
their coverage,
the commentary, Ali McCoy,
incredible
genius,
incredible guy.
Yeah, really impressed. I know BT have got an all-day coverage coming up in the next few weeks. I think I saw, not next week, the week after, the week of the 14th, every game is on BT Sport. So how we're going to do it today? I mean, obviously, there is a game happening at this moment. So, Everton and Arsenal is 0-0 after, 24 minutes? Shock. We will come to those two teams, but I'll probably place them in the second segment simply so we can discuss this game as well. But how we're going to do it is split the 20 teams into two halves, discuss 10 teams and how their games went in the first half, Cossie. In the middle, we'll talk about the predictions, obviously, from last week, because there were some great scores. And then in the second half, we'll do the other 10 teams, which will include, hopefully by this time, Everton Arsenal will be full-time and we can briefly round up what's happened there. So you'll probably be intrigued to know who those first 10 teams are. So I've got it noted down here. So these ones we can discuss in a little bit more detail, obviously within reason, but a little bit more time on these ones than the second half. I guess we'll start with the new league leaders, Man City. Now, With City, it's a bit difficult because you might go, well, they won both their games. It's nothing surprising or, you know, something to talk about. But it's the fact that they are winning both their games. They beat Villa 2-1, which, let's be fair, under Steven Gerrard could have been a slippery slope. Both games were away from home.
No pun intended, no.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even mean to do that. I'll keep that in the editing segment. Look, City are top of the table. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Bernardo Silva is just coming on to a different level this season. So we've got to give him a shout because, you know, without mentioning other teams, some of them did slip up.
And
Yeah,
that goal,
top of
mate,
the, well,
his goal,
Jesus to
absolutely
Bernardo
unreal.
Silva has got to be. I mean, as people were talking about Neil Morpé, and don't get me wrong, that goal is brilliant, and we'll talk about that as well. But there's something about the class of that goal that I think outdoes that.
It was perfect. It was just perfect from start to finish. The
And
fact that
how
it
funny is
started.
it that the striker made the pass to the
Yep.
midfielder to score
Yep.
the goal as well?
It's Man City all over, isn't it?
Yeah, I
Doesn't
mean,
matter who's playing
what
up
do you make
front.
of what do you make of City? I mean, they've won those two games. They're top of the table. Do you think there's a chance that it could remain like that for the remainder of the season, or do you think City are just in a good stride and always have the potential to slip
City
up?
are in a good stride, as you say, and they are capable of beating absolutely anybody. So regardless of Chelsea's form, regardless of Liverpool's form, they could have a head-to-head. And you know, when City obviously beat Chelsea earlier on in the season, that wasn't really a surprise to anyone, even though Chelsea were in amazing form. So they are the best team in the league.
I mean, they've conceded with Chelsea 9 goals all season. Oh my word, that was a horrendous challenge from Godfrey. I don't know if you've just seen that. We have got a game going on, as I said, but this is, oh, Jesus
Oh,
Christ.
that's going to be a
I
sending
think
off,
he's
isn't it?
gone. Yeah, I think he's gone here.
100%.
I don't know if you noticed, Cossie, but at 20 odd minutes, the Everton fans staged a mass walkout.
I was going to mention this at the start of the show, actually, because I wasn't really paying attention to the screen watching the Everton game. However, it was interesting to see what was going to happen with that. Did they actually
Yeah,
do
they
it?
yeah the well, I wouldn't say it was a mass walkout, but a lot of fans did walk out.
What are they protesting? The fact that the owner
I
puts a
don't
shed
know.
load of money
I guess we'll have to
into the
discuss it.
team? Oh,
We'll have to discuss it
crazy.
in a moment. Just keeping a close eye on this one, just keep an eye out. But I mean, I'll be interested because here comes the full replay. Let's see it in full. Ooh, it's a hard one. I mean, I've seen them given, but I don't know. I don't know if he is going to go here. We'll see. We'll no doubt touch on that if it does happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, City, as I said, 9 goals conceded. Chelsea, 9 goals. I mean, 32 goals, which isn't actually quite. I mean, I don't know whether Liverpool have just smashed it, to be fair, with 44 goals. I mean, you're looking at City's next run of fixtures: Wolves, Leeds, Newcastle, Leicester, Brentford, Arsenal.
That's a flurry of wins, isn't it?
Yeah, until they hit Chelsea on the 15th of Jan again, which is at home. So that's when you maybe they might hit their first challenge, and who's to say they won't turn them over either. So it is going to be difficult to see anyone stopping them, to be fair. But I guess we just had to talk about them first simply because, well, it's the first time the league table's changed in a little while. And yeah, I mean,
And
they're
that
top.
Bernardo Silva's goal needs coverage. It was just incredible.
Big shout to City, just get them out of the way and acknowledge the fact that, you know, they're doing what, you know, we expected them to do, and fair play to them.
The result against Villa was expected. Not really much to say about Villa. They didn't really do anything wrong. They just
No,
came across
no.
as a
I mean,
better City side.
obviously we'll talk about Villa in their own segment. Actually, do you know what? Bearing in mind I've got Villa in the first half, we'll come to them straight away then. That way you can kind of
Yeah.
overlap it. Because they had two games. Both 2-1s, but one of them was a loss to City, and the other one was a win against Leicester last night. And I've got to be honest, I didn't think Villa would turn over Leicester. And to be fair, watching the game back, I kind of feel like it was just because, you know, that goal disallowed. I'm just miffed at what that was all about, to be honest. So
I don't think there's a football fan in the country that would look at that and think, oh yeah, the referee was right there. The laws of the game, yes, he was correct to disallow it, but one hand on the ball. You know, we grew up in a state, like, you know, in a time where if the goalkeeper had it in the hand and you headed it out of his hand, that would count. Which, you know, when Schmeichel had it on, what was it, 0.12 seconds, something stupid like that, and then it was just, you know, he obviously went down injured.
I was surprised because I, when the rules came, I didn't know about the one hand. I've got to be honest. I thought it was still two hand. And to even more so that I was surprised when I looked at the rules that the goalkeeper is deemed in control of the ball now, even when he throws it in the air to kick it. So he's not even got to hold the ball.
No.
So he's given, no, and we talk about goalkeepers having so much protection these days. And the fact that now the goalkeeper doesn't even have to look around him before kicking the ball, you know, gone are the days when a player could be smart and come in and quickly toe poke the ball away as he goes. If he can't be aware of a player around him, shouldn't he deserve to be punished? I think it's embarrassing.
Michael had zero control over that.
Even when they went over to the monitor, it took a little while. I mean, you would have thought if that was a concrete rule, he would have just said, his hands on the ball, end up. But it just even came across to me like the referee even was like, really? Really, we're going to disallow this? Like, it was like a conversation going on. Well, the conversation should have been gone in 2 seconds if that's the rule. But even now, I feel like they were sitting there going, this is nonsense.
They knew that they had to chalk it off, and then they knew that there's going to be a backlash, and they knew that it wasn't right. But because of the laws, it had to be right, unfortunately.
It looked ridiculous. So I'm happy they did win it. I'd say Villa probably... If you'd have said, look, you'll have 3 points from City and Leicester, they might have been quite happy with that before the two 100%. Games started, because it could have easily been a one-pointer. Cool. So that's Villa and City out the way then. Let's go to Southampton now and talk from their point of view, because I know it doesn't seem like a massive achievement to come away from two games with two draws. And I know Southampton seem to be the draw specialist this season. I mean, what is that now? That's got to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 7 draws this season for Southampton in, well, what, 15 games? So it's almost half of their games they've drawn. Would you have said that those two draws, though, were good draws for Southampton, bearing in mind they were Leicester and Brighton?
It depends how you look at it, because Southampton are a team that the media can easily jump on and say, well, we obviously know that they've lost 9-9 twice. They're an easy team to then say, what are you doing in the Premier League? How are you surviving every year? But then Ralf Husenthal always proves everybody wrong, really. Hence why they've had a bit of money to spend. They've brought decent players in. Ever so often they sell as well, but they are a selling club. And for them to be in the Premier League full stop is probably overachieving a little bit, would you say?
Potentially. I mean, I've got to be honest. I know a lot of people don't look at it this way and they say they're a selling club. But if anything, I think that further validates why I'm quite open to them being a Premier League team. Because when you look at the players that have gone out the door, I just think for what they've done over the years and to still be in the Premier League and doing what they're doing, fair play to them, because any other side, I think, would have crumbled.
I think the manager gets a lot of criticism where he's not really deserved. I think it's a bit harsh.
I think they'll be disappointed with the 2 points, bearing in mind they were, what, in the 98th minute, conceding that Morpay goal. I think that's the story of Southampton's season at the moment. But if they'd have come out of that with 4 points, then I think they would have been very happy. Part of me does feel that they've shown enough to stay up this season. I don't think they've got as many frailties as the teams around them, whether it's Brentford or Leeds. I feel like Southampton definitely have a bit more about them. Eventually, you see these teams eventually fall in, don't you? So it's just how much longer they can hold on to their key players. You know, Ward-Prowse, if he goes, if they start losing the players around him, any prospects and stuff like that, it could get tough. I picked up a great stat, by the way. I know you're for little factual stats and whatnot. The joys of Amazon Prime commentary, because they were the ones that brought this to life. That was Shea Adams' 70th career goal. And do you know that was the first goal ever out of those 70s with his head.
That's insane. That's insane.
For a striker, that was his first headed goal. The joys of punditry come out with them little gems, didn't they? That's Southampton then. So you see him staying up, do you, Kos?
I do. Yeah, I think there's worse teams around him. Yeah, we'll get onto the worst teams around him. But as you mentioned, Leeds and Brentford, I think they're much more fragile than Southampton to go down. Obviously, Watford as well. And you could probably include Burnley in it this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that, let's go to one of the teams you just mentioned. Let's go to Leeds, who, let's be fair, I've got to say, I mean, again, probably be disappointed with the latter of the two games, you know, bearing in mind that they were probably at home, I'd say, favourites, but they were lucky to get a draw out of that one. Another late, late goal. So that was a 1-0 win against Palace and a 2-2 draw against Brentford. And I think you need to take into account the context of the fact that they nearly lost that Brentford game. And do you think they'll be happy with them two results?
I don't know. I don't think the fans will be happy, to be honest. I think the Brentford one especially, Leeds should be beating Brentford at home, let's be honest. They gave Brentford far, far too much respect. They had far too much of the ball. They had far too many opportunities. And Canos, he had about three or four chances before his goal. And you think, well, what the fuck are they doing? What are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, they had a lot of possession as usual, Bielsa ball and all that. But, you know, to be 2-1 down against Brentford, who are struggling recently, and salvage a draw says a lot.
Literally salvage, 95th minute.
It literally was, you talk about salvage a draw. It makes you wonder what, if that's salvaging a draw, what Neil Maupay's goal's called in 98th minute. Miracle, I'd call that. The other one, I mean, even so, I don't. Leeds are very fortunate to come out of this one with, I don't know what the right term is, but 4 points from two games. And even that game, that was a penalty, wasn't it? It was a penalty from Rafinha.
Arms up, if I remember rightly. Touched his hand, 94th minute winner, which I'm sure Jason, his Bielsa ball obsession, will appreciate.
Well, I mean, you think Leeds' two goals, their point-grabbing goals, came in the 93rd and 95th minute.
Yeah.
I mean, Palace, when we come to Palace, we'll talk about them because, I mean, I'd love to know what the stat is now for goals conceded in injury time. I'd love to know where they'd be in the table if it stopped bang on 90. But yeah, I mean, 93rd minute penalty, Leeds get a win, and then a 95th goal gets them a draw. So things look a lot more rosy than they should do for Leeds. But they're still not comfortable, are they? I mean, they're tied with Southampton and Palace at the moment. Who would you say is more likely to go down out of them three teams?
Southampton, Leeds and Palace. Bloody hell.
That's not like, saying any of them will, but if there was to be one, who do you think would be more likely?
Do you know what? Leeds look vulnerable. And, you know, the slice of luck they've got in the last week, they're not going to be able to get their luck every single week, are they? Hence why they're gradually getting lower and lower and lower in the table. And yeah, no one's speaking about Bielsa if he's going to be under pressure because of it. But what did you say?
We've said that week in, week out. You know, I don't think they'll ever throw him under the bus.
I think Leeds could be the one that drops lower, 100%.
Yeah, no, that's why I thought I'd ask, because you know it was in context with Leeds, and I had a feeling you might come to them as that team. Because I do think it's just whether now that Bamford's back, as we say, is he going to be the Bamford of last season or just the one-off? And I guess he's come back and he's got a goal. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not overly convinced, and I don't think you are either.
He could prove us wrong.
He could.
I don't particularly dislike the bloke, but I don't think he's the answer to Leeds' questions, to be honest.
No. Not at all. Before we come on to the next team, and that next team will be Crystal Palace, by the way. It makes sense that we would come to them after discussing Southampton and Leeds, and they are certainly in a bit of a situation at the moment. It's half-time at Goodison, and it is actually Everton 0, Arsenal 1. Odegaard got the goal right after Everton had their goal disallowed, so that would be interesting. Richarlison was not happy, but then again, let's be fair, it was offside. It's the rules, regardless of how minimal. But no, just to give you a heads up, it's 1-0 at half time. So that will be interesting to see where that puts Arsenal and Everton at the end of the show. Bearing in mind, at this moment in time, Cossie, news it to your ears, but Everton are actually below all three of those teams we are just mentioning, Palace, Leeds and Southampton. How about that?
Literally just looking at that.
So maybe I'll ask you that. Everton. Well, we've got to talk about Everton. So maybe that's another question I'll ask you come the end of the game as to whether you would change your mind if I threw them into the mix. But let's talk about the other third team then. So Crystal Palace losing to Leeds, obviously, as we just mentioned, in the 93rd minute, which will be infuriating, I'd imagine, for Vieira, because I think he would have probably taken the draw just to steady the ship, because that's now, well, pre-Leeds, they'd lost to Villa, and they before that, they were, what, 7 games unbeaten, bearing in mind 5 of those were a draw, but 7 games unbeaten nonetheless. And then they've gone to Leeds and Man United, and now they are on their... They are heading into the next game, hoping they don't suffer their 4th defeat in a row, which, let's be honest, Dean Smith was sacked for suffering, what, how many games in a row for Villa?
5.
It was about 5, wasn't it? Yeah, 5. It was 5. It was 5, to be exact. So that is interesting, because when you think of where could Palace be after 5 defeats in a row, ooh, all of a sudden Vieira goes from, you know, and I wouldn't say Jason was unfair for saying this, but he's basically thinking that Vieira was a bit of a genius for doing what he's done. And I think we were all wondering whether we were a bit rash in the appointment of Vieira, you know, frowning upon it. But now you're just starting to wonder. That's 1 point from 4 games against, let me just read these out, Burnley, Villa, Leeds, and then Man United. So 1 point from those 4 games?
They're a team that seem to be doing better than they're actually doing.
A lot better. Just to add that to context, if I was to turn around and say to you, what sort of season are Palace having and what sort of season are Everton having, I bet they would have been 2 completely different conversations. But actually, they're not too far between, are they? They're a point.
No, it's crazy. And also, Palace are missing a lot of big chances. I'm reading that Christian Benteke has missed more clear-cut goal-scoring chances than any other player in the Premier League this season, and the miss against Leeds was the 7th one. And also, I heard the commentator say that AU has not scored in his last 41 games.
Jason seems to argue for the Jordan Ayew selection and seems to think he's off. He offers something different, and I'd love to know what it is that he's offering, because if it's not goals, I'm not sure what he's there to do.
If he's not offering goals as a Crystal Palace striker who are missing a lot of chances, then what is he offering?
Well, just to bring that to life, really, if he's not scoring goals, then you'd probably say, well, he must be in there to set goals up then, surely. This season, 14 games, 1 assist, no goals. Last season, yeah. 33 games, 1 goal, 3 assists. So I'm not sure. Yes, he might work hard, but working hard and losing games doesn't really mean anything, does it? It's not like they're winning games and he's working hard to help them. And Benteke is, according to Jason, I believe I've heard say he's back to his best. 15 games, 4 goals.
For £35 million. If that's what £35 million gets you, no wonder Norwich are in the shit.
Well, I mean, bearing in mind his first season for Palace was 36 games, 15 goals. That's a bit more like it, isn't it? I mean, he had a bad season at Liverpool and he scored 9 goals in 29 games. So, you know, I'm not sure. 31 years old, it's not even like, you know, I mean, you've got a player like Eduard. You've got a guy who's 23 years old there who's almost scored the same amount of goals as your main striker. And he's, you know, nearly 8 years younger. So why would you not give him the... I know Benteke might bring the ball down better, but or just take Jordan Ayew out and put 2 up front. But they are struggling.
It should be that simple, really.
So, I mean, where do you see it going for Palace? Because their next 2 games, they need to win. Well, their next 3 games, I think, because they've got Everton, Southampton and Watford. Now, that's a great 3 games if you want to turn around your form, isn't it?
Yeah, if what everyone's saying about Vieira doing better than what we're thinking, that's a chance for him to prove himself. And if
Yeah.
he doesn't do it, they're in big trouble.
Yeah, I think they
Really.
are. I think, you know, if he can get, he has to at least get 6 points on the board there.
100%.
You know, Watford away, Watford might be up for it.
You'd have thought
the
a
other
draw.
Two. Yeah, well, I don't think they could. I don't even think. Same with Southampton. It's getting to that stage now where I don't think they can. I think they've used all their draws.
Yeah.
Already. I think they honestly have. I think they're, as I said, Southampton drawing, what, 7 games already this season.
Mm-hmm.
And Palace have also drawn 7.
That's exactly where you can manipulate stats saying, oh, unbeaten in 7. Well, you only got 7
don't
points.
Don't mean shit. If you
exactly.
draw every game in the season, you could still
you could
be
still
relegated.
Go down. Exactly that.
I mean, I've got to be honest, I'm surprised actually with the squad. I thought they had a great window and they looked like they were really turning things on their head. But they're just not, even though they've got the players back. I mean, Jason was raving about the time that he's going to finally get to see Zaha, Eze, Edouard, Gallagher, all on the pitch at the same time. And he's had the chance to do that recently. And yet, for some reason, he still is lining up with Ayew and Benteke and Schlupp. And you just think, why? Like, what is the reason behind it? And he's got those players on the... None of those players that I've just named are now deemed. I mean, Eze might have a fitness issue slightly because he's just come back. But they both, all three of them came on as subs. And you're just thinking, I mean, I would be personally having them on the pitch. I don't know about you, but...
100%. Is it a trust thing because they've got more experience, the three players that you mentioned?
I mean, more experience of what? Losing?
Exactly. That's how I see it. But I think with managers, they see those players who have been there at Palace for a few years now. They're sort of regulars. I trust them, you know?
I mean, if there was ever a time to throw those players into a game, it would be these next two at least. At home
yeah.
to Everton and Southampton, at Selhurst, both on the ropes. You've got to take it to them, surely. And you know Palace can do it because they played some slick football this year. I mean, they absolutely done us over. I know they probably played a completely different Spurs at the time, but fair play to them. They whooped us, literally whooped us. So I feel if we can get them three firing, maybe they've got something the other two teams don't have. And that's sort of that dynamism that, you know, not a lot of clubs could say they have, but I personally wouldn't like to see Eze and Zaha running at me, to be fair.
Exactly. The thing is, they've got three amazing players there. They've got Zaha, Eze and Gallagher. And they're three players that you would not want to face.
Not at all. Not at all.
Whereas the teams around that, you can't really pick out two or three players that you think, what? I'm not fancying this today.
Or maybe one. Lee's got Rafinha. About it. But to have three
to
going
three,
at you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's you could go all the way up to Brighton in 9th and Wolves in 8th and say, do they even have three players of that caliber at a stretch? Probably. But yeah, I think that's a bit of a waste at the moment. And Vieira, I think, needs to at least try all options before, you know, having fuel poured on the fire, because I think it will be a case of what if he did it, if he carries on too long.
Completely agree.
So maybe we'll see where Palace are by the time Jace comes on the show. So what we're going to do is, seeing as we're on a bit of a trend at the bottom of the table, let's get the final team out of these remaining few in the first segment out the way at the bottom. And the other team that I picked was Newcastle, because we made a big point out of the fact that they've got 2 games against Norwich and Burnley that they needed to win. Cossie, you'd obviously be happy that one of those wins wasn't against Norwich, the other it was against Burnley. But do you think Newcastle will still be aggrieved that they didn't come away? Not aggrieved as in disappointed, because some could say they might have been fortunate to get that draw. Mind you, bearing the circumstances of being down to 10 men after 8 minutes is another matter altogether.
Pre-game, post-game, completely different.
Pre-game,
isn't it?
They wanted to win. The moment he got sent off after 8 minutes, you're thinking, get the draw.
Yeah.
But it was a
everything
poor result,
about that
I think.
Game. Yeah, I think everything about that game, as soon like that's one thing that he did not need, as a player letting him down so soon in that game. And it
especially
wasn't even
a player
one of those
he probably thought he could count on as well. Just, and to, I mean, what a stupid decision.
That is ridiculous. And the way that Pukki's firing as well, misfiring as well, you would have thought, well, you know, he's not exactly scoring multiple goals per game. He's creating chances, but that wasn't a given that he was going to score that. It wasn't.
And you know that Norwich were most likely always going to concede a goal in that game.
So I don't know what you're talking about.
No, of course not. but no, you've surely got to just say, all right, we fucked up. You've got, what, 82 minutes to get things back on track. But the moment you get the guy sent off, you're basically restricting your result to a draw at best.
There was so much emphasis on that game for Newcastle as well. It's just like, okay, last week, oh shit, lost again. Week before, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on for the whole like 14 games without a win or whatever it was. You'd have thought coming into the Norwich game, you think, do you know what? We're going to be up for this, lads. 9 minutes, was it? 8 minutes sending off? You just think, oh, but, you know, as a Newcastle fan, player, manager, you must be thinking, oh, for fuck's sake.
Just the mood in the ground as well, you know. Yeah, I think the goal, they would have, the crowd would have then got on their back and said, like, you know, give him a lift to say, come on, let's get back in this. But to get sent off, I think if you'd have asked the crowd what they would have preferred, I think they would have taken the goal, to be honest, and said, we could still win this. So, yeah, not the best start. I mean, where do you think Newcastle fans will be at the moment coming off the two of their by far easiest games that they'll have for the rest of this year going into 2022? I mean, Jason made the point that he'd be surprised if Newcastle got on 10 points come the end of 2021. They're on 10 points now, but when you look at their next run of fixtures, oh my God, I mean, it's tough. It is very tough. So where do you think they'll be? Do you think they'll be happy that they've come out of that with 4 points, or do you think they'll be ruined?
I think they'll be ruined, to be honest. But the Newcastle fans that I've spoken to, like random ones online, and as well as a few friends that I'm unfortunately friends with who support Newcastle, I think they've sort of accepted they're going down this season. But it's because of the sheer optimism, the money that their club has got, and the support that they've got. That doesn't get you points, unfortunately, for them. But I think that's just thought, well, anything other than a loss 1 week, I think they're quite happy with, to be honest. But I think the Norwich game particularly, they are pissed at, really pissed at.
It's closer than I thought at the bottom again. You know, it's certainly not a stretch that Newcastle and Norwich could find themselves out of the bottom three within a month's worth of football. But the fixtures, as I said, for Newcastle are not kind. And by the time they maybe pick up that next win against that Everton side, if they carry on the downturn they are, they might have already been left behind by another 6-9 points, depending on how the other teams get on. I think they needed 6, 100%. That there was no question about it. It needed to be 6 points. And the fact that 6-point opportunity was gone after 8 minutes of the first game is even more of a joke. But we are talking about Newcastle. So we've got 4 more teams to discuss, and we better get through these because we've got still another 10 teams in the second half. I'm going to go to one of your boys. Let's go to Liverpool. Got to give them a mention because, again, they were one of the top 3 teams that did get 2 wins on the board. I'm surprised, actually. One of them was a 4-1 drilling of Everton, and here we are. My prediction didn't come true. Benitez is still sitting in the hot seat, 52 minutes, still Everton 0, Arsenal 1. Are you surprised Benitez is still there after that result?
I think their fans have even got to the point where they were like, well, we're going to get smashed by Liverpool, our local rivals. They accepted it before the game kicked off, really, didn't they? Which is why I think they're not surprised, because, again, today, well, like on the recording against Arsenal, they're not really going for Benitez this time. They're going for their owners. So it's got to the point where maybe the blame is being diverted from Benitez for the first time this season to think, hang on a minute, it's the owners that are the problem, not Benitez. And you watch the game, completely deserved. You from minute one, there was a little bit of hope when Damari Gray like scored to make it 2-1. But other than that, Salah, that they were mocking Salah for the misses. You think he's going to get you. You know, he's going to get you and you end up getting him twice. So again, not really. There's no surprises. What can you say about the game? Everton weren't very good. Liverpool was superb. It's and they didn't need to be superb. They could have turned up and played pretty shit and won that 4-1, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot when we're talking about Liverpool, and the main topic is just how bad Everton were. But as we'll rightly come to at the end of the show, no doubt we'll give ourselves a bit of time to talk about Everton, because that is it's getting toxic there. So yeah, Liverpool absolutely smashed Everton, and then obviously, you know, you're sort of sitting there now thinking, where are they going to go from here? So I mean, they're sitting in second, so fair play to them, they've gone up a spot. And we talk about last-minute wonders, and, well, he needs to legally change his name, I think, because it's becoming a bit of a joke for Divock.
Yeah. I mean, football is there... Football without Origi is nothing.
I mean, is there anyone that's been more deadly in 90 minutes onward than he's
absolutely
been?
Insane. But things you hear Klopp's comments after the game, he was like, I wish I could give him more game time. I hope he gets a manager who will play him every single week in, week out. But he cannot get into the starting 11. And I think he accepts that. I think the fans accept that. And I think it's just for some reason, it's a dynamic that works, that not many players would accept that. But he's playing for Liverpool, for God's sake. He's got a Champions League winner's medal. He's got a Premier League winner's medal. He's got legendary status in Liverpool. In a way, why would you leave? He's on healthy money. He's got nothing to prove.
Can you believe he's been there 7 seasons?
Yeah, it's crazy. It took him a good 2 or 3 seasons
since
to start.
He was 19.
Yeah.
And I mean, he did. Yeah. He has in that time. He's played in one season. He played 34 games. In another season, he played 28. So he had a decent run. Yeah. It's just the sporadic seasons, but he just comes up with memorable moments, doesn't he? Like it didn't take long for the Liverpool Everton game for the Jordan Pickford stuff to start coming out, and then obviously you got the goal against Barcelona, and it's mad. And then he pops up with that goal, and you just don't know how important that goal could be.
Yeah. And the thing is that game should have been dead and buried by then. I'm not going to judge Wolves on how good Liverpool were, but Wolves are slipping off a little bit recently. We'll get onto that later. But you look at the Jota miss, you look at how many chances Salah had, and when the big three aren't firing, they bring on Divock, and it's just like, oh yeah, 94th minute, mate, I've got this. Done.
Yep. What's your thoughts on Mane this season? I mean, I asked this question like he's having a bad season. He's still got 7 goals in 15 games. He's only 4 off of last season, but do you think he's just been heavily overshadowed by just how good Jota and Salah have been this season, and it's a bit unfair? Or
I think so. Like the guy I went to Liverpool with talks about this as well, thinking, well, do you know what, he's actually had a bloody good season, really. However, because he's not as good as Salah and not as good as Jota this season, would you say? It's one of those, it's just a player that just gets overlooked. He's so, so good. His impact in games is unreal. But because Salah is just like streaks ahead of him and everyone else in the world, would you say? And Jota, but they should be spoken about as a trio rather than who's individually better because the one of them's overshadowing the other one, et cetera, et cetera. I just think it's just unfortunate that he's with two incredible players.
Absolutely. I cannot believe that Everton just had another goal disallowed for the finest of margins. And it's Richarlison again.
Mate, he's going to get sent off now, isn't he?
He's fuming.
He's a huge hothead.
God. Right, so that's obviously Liverpool. So they're second in the table. They were top, and then obviously, you know, lo and behold, City then take it. So we get them out of the way. So now we've got the final 3 teams in the first half. And I guess we can kind of work our way down in the table. So let's go to the team that are highest out of the 3, and that would be West Ham.
Yep.
I mean, to be fair, if there's a team that got one of the better results of the two games that we've seen for every club, it'd probably be them. Because if they'd have beaten Brighton, I mean, we would have been looking at them in a completely different manner.
Yeah, they were unlucky, weren't they? I know there's no such thing as taking the lead too early, but they were 1-0 up within the first 5 minutes, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, to be fair, if you're going to concede a goal, you concede that one, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, like, that we've sort of had a joke with Jason about Mope. We've criticised him quite a lot on the show. And then
let's be fair. Look, let's take this out of the equation. It's the reason he's not here.
Yeah.
let's not kid ourselves. The reason Jason's not here, he just cut 2 more pay goals, you can't handle it. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Get better soon, Jace.
But yeah, West Ham were unlucky against Brighton, and the game against Chelsea, that was absolutely unreal, really. That was, did you mean it? The one against Chelsea.
Masuaku. No, I don't think so. I think if he comes out and says he meant it, we'd all call him an idiot. Because even though it went in, he's an idiot for taking that shot. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
I think he's just gone for whip. Yeah. On the ball, and he's completely got it wrong. But it's as convincing a mistake as I've ever seen, because it looks like he meant it.
It really looks like he meant it. The swerve on that ball, and the fact that how he hit it as well, you think, right.
It was like Ronaldo-esque, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the banana exactly. ball.
But again, West Ham, the courage that shows to go down twice against Chelsea and still come out of that with 3 points, that is absolutely unreal.
It's one of the results of the season, I'd say.
100%.
What that does for West Ham is incredible, really.
Not only in the table, but the belief as well.
Yeah, and the fact that their players aren't. You know, we've covered this. Ben Rama's hit a dip in form. Antonio hasn't scored since September, and they've come away with 3 points against Chelsea, who, let's be honest, prior to that, probably had one of the best defenses in the league. As I said, conceding goals, only 9 this season, and 3 of them were West Ham's.
Crazy.
It's incredible. It could be one of them results that Chelsea look back on, and West Ham will turn around to Chelsea like they did with Spurs and say, we were the reason you didn't win that league, because I personally didn't see that result coming. So fair play to West Ham. So again, another question regarding, and I asked this to Jace before, so I'll ask you this time, and I know it's still early, but West Ham, top 4 or not?
That is such a question. That is such
and
a
I've
million
got
dollar
the
question.
The two teams we're discussing after will be, you know, 2 of the 3 teams that are giving them a run for their money. Obviously, we can't discuss Arsenal because one of their games is going on, so it's no prizes for guessing who the other two teams coming up in a second might be.
To be honest, why not? Why not? They've beaten Liverpool at home. They've beaten Chelsea at home.
It's got to be just the depth.
But that, as you say about Antonio misfiring, if he's not scored since September, yet they're still laying fourth in the Premier League.
No, fair play, West Ham. I can't say too much about them. You know, I don't like giving them credit because obviously, you know, there's one team that I would love to beat every time we play them. But no, they are certainly surprising me week in, week out, just as I think they're about to tail off and they come back. So fair play to
them. That's the thing. And the thing is, if you look at if any big team played against Chelsea and they went 1-0 down and 2-1 down, even the big teams, you'd be surprised if they came back to even draw against Chelsea, let alone a West Ham. With no disrespect to West Ham, you would not put them to draw, to win that after going down twice against a great team. So
and I don't say this very often either, but London Stadium was buzzing.
It was
rocking. It's the first bit of noise we've got from them since they moved in. But no, fair play to them. It was a great result. Massive, massive result. And then finally, as I said, no guesses for who the final two teams are. We're working down the table. So I am pleased to say that Spurs would be the next team. So that means we are ahead of the other one. I guess I have to mention it because they kept up with the pack. I think it's more about the manner in which they won their two games. You know, the 2 clean sheets, 2-0 against Brentford, 3-0 against yourselves. But there were glimpses that I saw that maybe Conte's vision is starting to come in to play now, because I don't know if you watched the game, Kossi, but obviously speaking more from Spurs' perspective here, we'll discuss Norwich's efforts in their own segment. But there were a few times when Spurs broke, and they were so quick. I mean, Skip had a worldie of a game of all games. Yeah, I don't know. I know it's only Brentford and Norwich, so I don't want to get too excited. But there certainly seems to be a mindset that's changed, and it looks like Conte ball is starting to click a little bit for Spurs.
Agreed. Things that I watched both games with different tinted glasses, obviously. So when I watched Brentford, I was watching out to see how much you battered Brentford. And I don't really recall them threatening you. I don't really recall them really having that much sniff at all. Watching as a Norwich fan, if I was Spurs, I'd be thinking, well, Pukki had a great chance, Ida had a great chance. And you just think, well, if those, I think we had three golden opportunities that if Spurs were playing a better side, that for me as a Spurs, if I was a Spurs fan, that would worry me. However, like you said, you can only beat who's in front of you. And those two teams were Brentford and Norwich, which obviously both teams are lacking a huge quality in front of goal. So in one way, yeah, Spurs should be happy. 6 points against Brentford, especially against Norwich. You think, well, they did actually have a few chances and they played. Like, I know possession doesn't win you games. However, Norwich had the vast majority of the ball. But again, it's what you do with it.
I mean, not to further highlight Dr. Norwich coming to town, but that was the first time that Spurs had scored three goals this season in the Premier League. So, you know, I see that as a positive. You know, when they used to talk about, you know, the XG stats and Spurs were struggling to do anything, create golden opportunities, they highlighted it on Sky Sports and said the last three games that Spurs have played, they created more scoring opportunities than they have all season. So, starting to work, it's not going to immediately come into play. As I said, no. I'm not for a second saying, look, we've beaten Norwich and Brentford at home here. You know, I'm not going to start celebrating it. But there seems to be something coming into play. And let's see what Conte does in January anyway. The final team. Now, this is a bit more of a talking point because I admittedly didn't catch any of the game last night. So I don't know whether he's got them playing in a different way. But the last team's Man United. So they beat Arsenal 3-2 in a great game. It was a great game for the neutral. Brilliant game. Absolutely proper insane. Old school classic. And yes, I do agree with the goal being given, the first goal 100%. Against 100% all day long.
Again, I was watching both teams on the telly. I was watching the Spurs game and the Man United game at the same time. And I saw De Gea go down. And I was thinking, what the hell's happened? And I was thinking, oh, the replay showed that he was fouled. And I was thinking, actually, look a bit closer and it was Fred just taken out as goalkeeper.
Sporting conduct, my ass.
Yeah,
no chance.
Like,
no chance. It wouldn't have done the same thing.
The amount of times that a goalkeeper goes down or a player stays down, you're telling me that he could not have got up from that and gone on to save that. Come on, grow up. I was part of a last man standing that I had Man United to win, and that's the only game that I've ever looked at the game and thought, do you know what? I want Man United to win this. I'll win 165 quid if I get that. And even when they went 1-0 down, I was like, get in, you know, just because it's Man United, isn't it?
That was a great game that then saw, I believe that was the game that then saw the announcement of Carrick, wasn't it? Saying that he was stepping down, which I think caught a few people by surprise. Then obviously Ranić came in and took over his first game against Palace. And look, I know it's sort of, it's probably looked at now as something that's not as, you know, impressive, bearing in mind that Klopp, Guardiola and Tuchel are now some of the greatest managers ever. But this guy is the guy that everyone calls the guy that created Jurgen Press. You know, it was him. And he's been well received by Klopp and Tuchel as being the guy that started it all and influenced them a lot. They've gone on taking it to another level, of course. But then again, we've not seen it properly yet. It's one of those, you know, we say this about Bielsa, I guess, in the same way, but in a more negative way. He's lauded for being a great coach, but has never really done anything of note. I mean, Ranić, I'd say, has got a lot more credibility, in my opinion, than Bielsa has, as you say, for having 100%. That one game in the Champions League that got him the laudits.
100%.
But, yeah, he's come in now, and obviously we'll see if it takes shape, but he certainly has started with a bang and got a win. So, I mean, are you on the sort of steady caution ship, or do you think it was a good appointment?
Oh, mate, I hope he fails to high shit, honestly. I hope he fails. But the thing is, as a football fan, full stop, it's exciting.
Yeah.
And you think, well, if you look at the players that Manchester United have got, even though I begrudgingly used to enjoy watching them play back in their heyday, it's only a positive for the Premier League. And providing they don't do too, too well, I'm quite excited to see what's going to happen, because they've actually got quite a good squad, as much as I again hope they fail. It'd be interesting to see what happens next.
No, absolutely. So yeah, that's Man United. Obviously it's a bit too soon for us to start talking about them because we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we'll give it a couple of weeks and then we'll see exactly what's going to happen from there. So we take a bit of a break here, and I say we take a bit of a break. I've got to race through these because I've got a lot of predictions to summarise. So we start in game week 14. Let's see. Let's read these out, shall we? So the first game that we listed was, I believe, if I've got it noted down here, Man United Arsenal, which, funny enough, we just spoke about. That ended 3-2. Only two people got a point, and one of them was yourself, Cossy, and the other being Jason. So you said 2-1, Jason said 3-1. So that gets you a point, puts you on 6. Jason finally gets into the 20s and goes on 20 points. And then this is where it just elevates to another level. It looks like, by the way, Richarlison has scored a hat-trick. I don't even know if this is going to count yet, so we'll see you in a second.
He's going to get booked for a celebration.
No doubt. Can they even book him for that if it's not counting?
that's a good question.
Here we go. Oh, I tell you what, if this... No, he has to be off. He has to be onside that time.
Yeah, he's on. He's got to be.
So it's 1-0 there, just off track. The other games were Spurs Brentford, and we all got a point. But Cossy, you'll be pleased to know you were the only one that got 3 points because you predicted that Spurs would beat Brentford 2-0. All of the rest of us, I said 3-1, Jason said 2-1, Cookie said 1-0. So we all get a point nonetheless, but you are the only one that gets three. The next bit is Newcastle Norwich. Now, another example where going with your head rather than your heart pays wonders, because again, you got another 3 points. You said it'd be 1-1. Cookie said it'd be 0-0. So Cookie gets a point, but you get another three.
I tell you what,
if you'd have put a bet on, mate, you would have had a blinder. Because just to further wrap it up, West Ham Brighton, you was one of three of us that also said that it would end 1-1. So you get another 3 points. Cookie was the only one that didn't get a point in that game. He said it'd be 2-1 Brighton. So, I mean, that is pretty good going, mate. You're on 15 points already. I mean, your form doesn't stop here, because we go into game week 15, which is Cookie's double points. And I'm not going to lie, it is a bit comical because, well, can you get double points if you get zero? But I'm jumping the gun a bit here. Villa Leicester. Cossy, you was one of two people that said it would finish Villa 2, Leicester 1. So you have got another 3 points.
This is ridiculous.
It is unbelievable. My mates
that I put bets with, honestly, would not believe this.
It's being recorded, mate. It's being recorded.
I knew this in writing.
It doesn't even look like, really, you've taken... You're only 5 points off Cookie, and you've only been on the show for 2-3 weeks. So that says a lot. Jason, even more so. I've got to give a shout to Jace here. Bearing in mind we were joking about where he was in the points table, he's now only a point off me at top. So that goes to show how good a week Jason's had. He will be annoyed he weren't here to hear this. This is where it goes a bit downhill. None of us got the Newcastle Burnley score right. Bearing in mind that was 1-0 Newcastle. We all said it would either be a Burnley win or a draw. I was the only one to get a point out of Leeds Brentford because I said it'd be 1-1. Obviously, it was 2-2. Everyone else said it would be Leeds or Brentford win. So I get another point there, which opens up a little bit of a gap for me. And then the final game was West Ham Chelsea. And let's be fair, you were only an idiot if you predicted West Ham would win that game. So, as you can imagine, none of us said West Ham would get anything from that game. So that's how it ends. So it ends with me on 29, Jason 27, Cookie 23, you on 18. And I'd say that is very good going, mate.
Pretty ridiculous considering that's my third lot of predictions.
It is really ridiculous. And let's
watch
be fair.
Watch it go downhill.
Well, we'll see. I don't know what's more ridiculous, the fact that you, that Cookie had double points and still ended up on 0, or that is a bad week. He should have gone with game week 14, that's for sure. But hey ho. Right, back to the next round then, and we might have to get through these a bit quicker. Obviously, Arsenal-Everton is still ongoing, and it is 1-1. That goal wasn't disallowed, so we've got 7 minutes until that game is over, and oh my God, how have Arsenal not scored that? Cool, I thought I'd sort that up. Yeah,
that's a shocking myth.
That is an absolute shocker. It's still 1-1 somehow. And Nketiah's not put the ball in the back of the net. I think it was harder to miss, I'm not going to lie. I could have come off him and gone in either.
That could have done.
I digress. As I said, we've got 6 minutes to summarise all these up by the time this game finishes. So let's get the big one out the way then, Kossi. We can finally talk about Norwich. Newcastle, obviously 1-0. We've talked about Newcastle's side of it and we've spoken about Spurs' side of the game. Anything else to add from a Norwich perspective other than you're a big fan of Josh Sargent?
Oh, mate, Josh Sargent. My God, I'm struggling to understand what the recruitment team was talking about with him, to be honest. Honestly,
can I just say, because I'll be completely honest, and I've got this on recording as well. You'll hear it in the previous episodes if you're re-listening. I was a big fan of that signing, to be fair, because I knew quite a bit about Bundesliga. Bearing in mind it's one of the best leagues for generating talent. And Werder Bremen, prior to them going down, they had Josh Sargent. And he was, I'm not going to lie, I thought he was a real talent. He wasn't, I'm not going to say he was prolific because his stats don't lie, but he just offered a lot. He was quite threatening and he's well thought of in the States. I know, again, the American national team, you don't have to be a world beater to get into that side, but they certainly have come on over the years. But he was well regarded at Bremen, bearing in mind he would have only been 17, 16 at the time. So, yeah, I've got to be honest, I'm a bit surprised he's not tucked those chances away.
He's one of those Norwich players that I don't even see any fans coming out and defending him. Usually when a player is doing pretty shit for us, you do get a lot of Twitter saying, give him a chance. What about this? He could potentially show that. But I just don't understand what he brings to the team.
And he has had three major opportunities to get you points this season. Yeah. That could be the be all end all of going down.
The one against Brighton was probably the worst one. Obviously, you've got the one on Sunday against Spurs, which is. But
the only thing that's on his side, the only thing that's on his side, I guess, is age. And the other thing that's probably on his side is the fact that the other two strikers around him are missing massive opportunities as well. So, yeah, I mean, I probably would have said the Newcastle one. And I mean, how did you feel coming away with a point, bearing in mind they did go down to 10 men after 8 minutes?
Gutted and relieved at the same time, because everyone knows it's not easy playing against 10 men and with the home crowd who are absolutely buzzing. But what was so frustrating about this game is it took Newcastle's goal for us to do anything. I personally think we should have had a penalty in the first half with the handball. No, like, I don't think.
Oh, I'm all for. I mean, we had an exchange about it. I can't believe that wasn't given.
It's ridiculous. And the thing is, at Carrow Road, if every fan would have seen it around it, that would have been 27,000 fans screaming for a penalty. Whereas I don't think Norwich really saw it, but VAR did, for fuck's sake. Why is that? I for the life of me, I don't understand.
I can't believe it. It wasn't given.
I don't understand it at all.
But, just quickly, obviously, the next four games, Man United, Villa, West Ham and Arsenal.
Yeah, not easy, is it?
Rough, yeah. Bit rough. Yeah,
that's really rough. But again, it's relief as a Norwich fan to see that us get back into a game after going 1-0 down. So that's the positives I'll take from it.
I mean, results went your way as well around you, to be fair. Exactly. So in some sense, and we're going to get to one of these teams now, actually, because oh my word, I do not believe it. Damari Gray has just banked one from 30 odd. That ain't offside, I can tell you that now.
That's well deserved as well. Looking at how the game's gone.
Cookie, please come on. Please come on and talk to me about Arsenal right now. Well, we've got something to talk about. I better get through these quickly then. So let's go to Burnley then, seeing as that is one of the teams that had probably even more of a shocker. Actually, it's close. It's close. But Burnley drew 0-0 to Wolves and then lost 1-0 in a real six-pointer to lose 1-0 to Newcastle.
That's a bad result.
Yeah, that's a bad result.
Regardless of playing against 10 or 11 men.
I was surprised, to be fair. I thought Burnley were on a real run. But then again, they got a few draws behind them, didn't they? And that was probably about it. They beat Brentford. I mean, who wasn't beating Brentford at that moment in time?
Arsenal.
True that. They are in a bit of trouble, I've got to be honest. Yeah, I mean, they're all tied on 10. But they've got the game in hand. But I think Burnley now, looking at it, will be frustrated they've not played Spurs when they could have played Spurs. Because what, if that game gets pushed to what they're saying, it could be January. By that time, Conte could have them rolling. And
well, that's what everyone's expecting. And that's, I know you've only just beaten Burnley and, sorry, Brentford and Norwich. But again,
momentum, isn't it?
Momentum.
We could be on a real, I mean, Burnley would have been the first real team that we would have had. And you look at how close we were against Leeds. Burnley, I think, would have given us a tough game after the draw that they had against, what was it, Chelsea? Did they draw? Yeah, they drew 1-1 against Chelsea, the win against Brentford. They would have been going draw against Palace. They would have gone straight into that game against Spurs in a real, and you talk about momentum. And now they've lost to Newcastle. They're going into their January schedule, which their December schedule, sorry, isn't terrible. I mean, West Ham, Watford, Villa, Everton, United. I mean, it's quite tough. You throw a Spurs game in there, Spurs would have played 5-6 games by then. As I said, that's more games for Conte to get in. So you don't know what team you're going to be playing. I think they'll be a bit annoyed they didn't get Spurs at the right time. And, well, and Everton's win today. You don't know what that does for Everton either.
Yeah.
So
and they're going to be kicking themselves against Newcastle. Their first win in, what, 14, yeah, 15 games?
Yeah, it's horrendous.
You don't want to lose that against bottom of the league. You really don't. As a Norwich fan, you can take a positive for only, you know, for getting a draw at St James's Park for that.
Absolutely. So let's work our way up then, as I did earlier. So we've obviously discussed Norwich and Burnley. So it would make sense the next team would be Watford. Not a lot to say here. I think, to be fair to Watford, they got 2 goals in 2 games. They probably could have gone goalless. Yeah. Lost 2-1 to Chelsea. I wouldn't say they gave themselves a bad... I was about to say, they didn't give themselves a bad run, you know, against Chelsea. I thought they showed a few signs there.
Dennis again with a good goal.
Yeah, I mean, 50-50 possession, had a good amount of shots on goal. I think Watford have got enough. I think when you talk about the front line, I find it hard to believe that a team with this kind of Dennis on form, go on, Iwobi, bury it. Oh, he somehow has not scored. That would have been the icing on the cake if Iwobi put
been.
That in.
That really would have been.
Yeah, Dennis is on form. Sarr, I mean, you talk about Palace with the front three. I mean, if they've got a team on form, Watford up top, they are firing. So they've got a lot to offer, but not a lot to say in those 2 games. I think anyone at the bottom would have probably lost them. So fair play to them.
They scored a good couple of goals, gave it a go, but no one was really expecting anything other than 2 losses.
Nah. So not a lot to say there. We'll talk about Watford when, I mean, who's their next game, just to throw it in there. It is Brentford. So that's a pretty... Brentford and Burnley, actually, and Palace, and then Wolves. So a good 4 games for Watford. Yeah, really good.
That could be a good 10 points, really.
Yeah, I mean, don't let Jason hear you say that, but yeah, probably.
That's just to wind him up.
So the next team then, so after Watford, it looks like we're jumping a few teams and going to your relegation favourites, apparently, Brentford. 2-0 defeat against Spurs, 2-2 draw against Leeds. Obviously, we mentioned from a Leeds perspective that Bamford goal was a lifesaver. For Brentford, however, they'll be gutted.
Yeah, I think Elland Road is not an easy place to go to. But fair play to Brentford. I think I'm more desperate for them to be spoken down upon like Norwich have and, you know, slated by the press, etc., etc. But they were good against Leeds. I know Leeds are very easy to criticise, as we've said it before. But when you're 2-1 up against Leeds, who are struggling with 30 seconds to go, you've got to see that game out. You really do. That'd have been a huge result. That would have made me think, hang on a minute, maybe I am chatting even more shit than I usually do about Brentford. I would hold my hands up. But again, that brings them right down, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 17 points in 13th. So 7 clear of Burnley, but we know how close. I mean, Everton, we were just saying 2 seconds ago, were 16th and they're now 12th after turning that on his head, which says a lot. So, yeah, I think it's massive. I think Brentford, they sometimes show signs and then other times they don't. And it's just odd.
But also, they scored 2 goals without Tony in their side as well. And I know that everyone used to bang on about Tony last season, but their goal scoring this season has been pretty, pretty terrible. But they scored 2 good away goals against Leeds without Tony in the team.
Yeah. I mean, they need to win that Watford game. They've then got Man United, which is a free shot at home. And then they've got Southampton, which is another big game. So you know, prior to that AFL Cup game against Chelsea, which, let's be fair, they're just going to have a go, and they, I guess, you might as well at this stage. You never know what could happen. But
exactly
the
that.
Watford and Brentford game, I think, is going to be the Watford and Southampton game's got to be the one they've got to be looking at. So now we've got, I mean, I guess we can talk about them now because the game's over. We can talk about Everton first. I mean, you talk about a big result. I mean, what Benitez must be thanking the gods right now, don't you think?
All the fans
are against the board. He's now won a game. I mean,
and Everton deserved it. You look, they had two goals.
Two goals
off,
by
two
a margin.
Really close. You know, two really close. That was a different Everton side. I know we've been critical of them and said, hang on a minute, how many players would get into this team, that team, et cetera, et cetera. But can you compare Everton with Arsenal? Because obviously that's where they want to be, really. And all of a sudden they came out and they beat a half decent on form Arsenal side 2-1 and deserved it, more than deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, after that result against Liverpool, you know, it was looking rough. I mean, you mentioned that the fans seem to have eyed up the board more than Benitez today. Reasons for that?
That's such a good question. Maybe, I genuinely don't know. That's one of those things that I don't have many friends that are Everton fans because they tend to go in their hole when they're not relevant, which is most of the time. But what's the understanding between that? Have they decided as a whole to be like, right, should we not blame Benitez anymore because actually he's got good credentials to be a good manager for us? And should we go to the board? Oh, hang on a minute, the board has given us a shedload of money as well. We want to be winning. I'll give you money. Okay, you already have been given money. I just don't get it. But it worked.
Well, clearly, I mean, this could be, let's be fair, I mean, no, we could be jumping the gun. They'll probably lose next week or whatnot. Mind you, it's against Palace, so they probably won't. That's probably 3 points. This could be a massive moment in their season, this result. For Benitez more so. It could be the game where Everton fans have decided they're going to go for the board instead. And then it's the game that Benitez has just won where they would have felt like, I mean, it looked like Everton were on form in that game.
They
looked deadly. So maybe that was the sign they needed to get the fans off of the back of Benitez. And maybe going forward.
When Richarlison is hungry, he can be a very, very good player.
He can. He's just, yeah.
And Gray's winner. Superb.
It is a stunner. Absolute stunner. So Everton find themselves in 12th all of a sudden. What a turnaround.
Crazy. But again, that's what happens. If you, again, we talk about relegation candidates in the same show. We've spoken about Everton. Could they be brought into the relegation scrap? All of a sudden, they're sitting ridiculously away from it. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, they're against Palace on the Super Sunday, aren't they? So that's on. And I mean, you think of it this way. They win that game. They could, if all the teams above them lost their games, like Wolves, Brighton, Villa, they could be near eighth. So that's where we used to say about the fans calming down a little bit.
Everton fans, calm the hell down, basically.
I honestly feel their manager, it was as good a manager as they could have got after sacking Ancelotti. I'm being deadly serious. Next team then. So, I mean, this is a small pack here now because we are literally jumping from one place to another. We go to the team above Everton, Leicester. Bad week for them.
Yep. Again.
What, 2-2 against Southampton and a 2-1 defeat against Villa?
Two away games. I suppose they went down in both games, so you can take positives from it that they came back to draw. James Maddison with another goal against Southampton. But again, if you really want them to chase the top four, which is what they think they should be doing, you've got to really win those games, regardless of it being away from home. The other game, to go on to lose that 2-1 when you've taken a good lead against a half-decent side. Again, they're not going to be anywhere near the top four with form like that and results like that.
They're so stop-start. Like, I remember us saying, 100%. They've hit the ground running. And then I look at their results and actually I can't find where they've hit the ground running. They never did.
No.
They beat Watford 4-2. Prior to that, they lost to Chelsea. They drew to Leeds. They haven't actually really hit the ground running for an age. Beat Man United and beat Brentford. That was probably the time where they hit the ground running for two games. So, yeah, really, really, I mean, really looks, to be honest, this season, it's mid-table at best for Leicester, I think.
Agreed.
And yeah, a complete transition, I think, next season is needed, as me and Jason have said multiple times.
Yeah, they're 1 point ahead of Everton.
Yeah, says a lot. Amazing how two different contrasts happen there. Completely. You know, Benitez is under pressure, but Rodgers is fine. And we move up again, two spots to Brighton in ninth. I mean, do we call it Brighton or do we call it Morpay? Because
God,
what a he has pulled out two miracles from his arse, hasn't he? Really?
Again, he can't come on the back of criticism from us. Does he score enough? And all of a sudden,
he's not influential enough, and he scores the most vital points in Brighton's 2021 campaign.
Honestly, absolutely insane. Like, what can you say about him? He's a complete shithouse, winds fans up. Doesn't score enough, apparently. Doesn't create enough, apparently, but has just completely made us look silly again by scoring two and two. Two last-minute winners. One of them overhead kick. Absolutely ridiculous goal.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous
goal. Fair play
goal
to him. Fair play to Brighton. Making Crystal Palace look silly.
They need another striker. That's all they need. Yeah. I mean, they're one of the lowest scoring teams in the top half of the table, other than Wolves. Yeah. If they had a world-class striker alongside Morpay and Trossard, I think they'd have an absolute force.
Yeah,
they just need someone that's going to bag them easily,
and they've got a great
double figures.
As well.
Well, yeah, Potter. I mean, he's certainly showing. But then again, saying that, I mean, Brighton, looking at it, I mean, they're doing very well to be in ninth spot, because do you know they've not won a game since the 27th of September,
which is crazy. Again,
they've drawn eight games.
And you say that Brighton, and you're saying that sort of teams like Brighton and Wolves are flying. So it seems, however, you talk about that and you talk about where they are on the table again, Brighton are only 2 points ahead of Everton.
2 months. That's they've actually, so in 10 games, they've not won 10 league games, but they've only lost two of them.
Yeah, and the last week will feel like 6 points for them just because of the last minute winners. So the next game is quite well. That's going to feel like they're going to win that, surely, just because of how the last 2 points have come about.
Well, I hope not, mate. They've got Spurs next, so I'm not having that. I mean, they've got Spurs and Wolves, and let's be fair. You talk about six. Well, look, I mean, this is great. Spurs, Wolves, Man United. You talk about 6 pointers in that cluster of teams.
Yeah.
If Brighton can get anything out of beating Spurs in fifth or Man United in sixth and Wolves in eighth, my God, they could be in Europa League.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, you talk about a miracle. That is that this season. I think that'll be the story of the season if Brighton somehow managed that. I mean, we're talking like Brighton had a good week. They probably didn't. I mean, the West Ham draw is not bad. I would have thought they would have wanted to win against Southampton, but taking to cot sets the times the goals went in, I think they'd probably take it. Still not at Arsenal yet, mate. Unfortunately, we're at Wolves now. Probably not a lot to say in this one. They drew 0-0 to Burnley away from home, and they lost 1-0 to Liverpool. So I think there's only one game there they'll probably be annoyed about.
Yeah, and the thing is that the game against Liverpool battered them for 90 minutes and got a lucky goal at the end, as we know and discussed earlier. But they weren't expected to beat Liverpool. They weren't really expected to get a point out of it. So regardless of it being a close game and a tight game, The previous game earlier in the week is the one that they'll be kicking themselves at, to be honest.
Can you believe that a Wolves team with Hwang, Raul Jimenez, Adama Traore, Trincao, Podence, and obviously an injured Neto, Ruben Neves, and they are the lowest scoring team in the Premier League on 12 goals, beaten by Norwich. Burnley are ahead of them. Southampton are ahead of them. I mean, that is shocking, isn't it? It's just the fact that they are also, at the same time, the best defensive team outside of the top four. That's the only reason. 12 goals scored, 13 goals conceded this season. So, I mean,
they need to get a tune out of Traore. They really need to get a tune out of him.
I mean, if you've listened to the previous episodes, as you said, you would know that we think they need to leave that one behind, I think, because I think they've evidenced they're better without him. Yeah, I think too many opportunities are wasted with him in the team. He's scored 7 goals across 4 Premier League seasons for Wolves.
That is a shame.
That is shocking. Bearing in mind a player that they could have sold for nearly 40, 50 million, I would have probably taken it. final two teams then, and now you can have your little moment to shine,
well,
eh? Because we come to Arsenal, who are one of the few teams to get 0 points out of their two games, and let's be fair, excluding the Man United one, they should have pre-game. This Everton game was a guaranteed win. It had to be. Everton in a downturn of form, and they've somehow fucked it massively.
See, I've been quite kind to Arsenal, considering my opinion for them, and I've thought, oh, do you know what? I'll come on here and be like, well, I like Arteta. You know, you can see the direction they're going in, but when I see Cookie tweet that saying that Norwich should go back to where we belong and just stay there now, playing against 10 men who are winless and bottom and still go 1-0 down and just basically calling us a shambles, I think, well, hang on a minute. Talk about levels, yeah? So Arsenal, a team that got into the Champions League 19 years in a row and did absolutely fuck all. They got into one final, fair enough, but they've not won it. So they did just enough to get into the top four every single year. And they got to the point where I was thinking, well, it's been 4 years since they've been into the Champions League. Maybe your level is Europa League. Oh, no, they're not even in that. So when you look at it, you're buying £77 million players. You've put in someone on literally £1.3 million a month, £350,000 a week, and he cannot score for shit in Aubameyang. And then you're slating Norwich for coming up with fuck all money. Delia Smith, who earns less money than your top striker, and all of a sudden Arsenal fans giving Norwich fans shit. You just think, well, hang on a minute, what's your levels come to if you're slating Norwich rather than focusing on, well, maybe we should be in the Champions League because we spent all this money. Maybe we should be doing better than we actually think we are, because you know, look at their squad. They've got 77, like, even if you look at teams around them, they've spent a lot more money than Liverpool. Their wage bill is way ahead of Liverpool's, and you're calling out Norwich fans.
Yeah, there's always one that loves to trigger. I would say Cookie is very good at it. I know for a fact he'll be fuming at that result. He's not someone that shies away from criticizing Arsenal. He just loves to criticize the teams around him, don't get me wrong. But he's always been a bit of a
criticizing Norwich at the start of the season, then, yeah.
He's criticizing Norwich, he criticized Spurs. I mean, he's got a very bad habit, and I've tried telling him this before. He's got a very bad habit of speaking way too soon, and then it ends up always biting him in the ass. I mean, look.
Oh,
you're
wait, he's still
right.
He's still probably right about Norwich going down, though, so fair play.
Yeah, true. I mean, even if it is the easiest
wise,
prediction.
Like, you know, in all serious levels wise, top four with the budget and the money that they've spent, you know, 19 years in the Champions League and doing nothing, surely that's someone, like, me as a Norwich fan can turn around and be like, well, you're not competing. Go back to where you belong.
Yeah.
What's your level? They've never won the Champions League. 20 years nearly of getting into the Champions League, and they got to one final. The rest of it, when the one season Leicester got into the Champions League, they competed more than Arsenal had in the previous 10.
True. I mean, look, I mean, if just to sort of show the difference in thinking, I mean, if you look at Norwich's two games this week that they've just had and Arsenal's, I mean, Norwich faced a Spurs side and a Newcastle side. Arsenal have pretty much played their what's deemed as their level, Man United, and a Everton side that they should never have lost to, and they've come away with 0 points, and Norwich have still come away with one. So there is that kind of question. Maybe just look at your own team and focus on that, because, you know,
and what's
Arsenal
expected
now find
from your
themselves
team?
Well, that's it. Arsenal now find themselves in seventh, and, you know, that Amazon Prime table that, you know, are they top of that one anymore? That's the big question. It's nonsense. I mean, the fact that was going around as a tweet just is embarrassing, really, because, you know, to say, oh, if the season started at this stage, Arsenal would be top. It's like, wow. I mean, really? You know, if the season started today, Everton would be top of the table, but they're not.
If I had wings, I'd be a bird.
Well, that's it. Water is wet. Right, the last team, big talking point really, because it's the first time that Chelsea have been knocked off their perch. from a Chelsea perspective, beating Watford, as you said, Watford gave a good account of themselves. So what that says for Chelsea, I don't know. Losing to West Ham, however, do you think that would do them a bit of a bit of damage? Do you think they'll be rocked by that one?
I don't think they necessarily did anything wrong other than the Mendy pass back, the Mendy mistake, and a goal that no one ever in a million years could see like happening, to be honest. But I don't think they can really take too much criticism from that. On paper, they took the lead twice and they came around. They ended up losers. But that's the only negative. What do you think? It's one of those things that, yes, on paper, you can see that as a huge negative. But if you watch the actual game, you think, well, did they really do that much wrong?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, it was a London derby. It was the fans, as we said before, were on form. I don't really know what to take from that, to be fair. I don't think if you're a top team this season going for the league, I don't think you'll be too disheartened if one of your losses has come from West Ham this season. I think West Ham are as good as any team this season, bearing in mind Liverpool can vouch for that. You know, and we're still sitting here saying Liverpool are easily one of the best teams in the league. So I just think the worry is for Chelsea that the fact that Liverpool, we know, can come back with an answer. Chelsea, however, are very lackluster up top. I mean, Lukaku and Werner, I really don't know what's going on here.
Sorry to jump in, but I saw someone tweet saying if you put Aubameyang in that team under Thomas Tuchel, he'd be scoring 30 goals a season. And then someone replied,
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
The thing is, someone replied saying, hang on a minute, you've got a £100 million striker who's scored like, what, 3 goals a season, something stupid like that. I don't know how many, but it's just like, well, you cannot just put someone like Aubameyang in that team and expect them to get 30 goals a season when their top goal scorer is a defender.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think Chelsea, that's the only thing they're going to be worried about. I think Liverpool could still do well without Salah and Mane, probably than Chelsea up top. I think that is one concern. So maybe they'll go out and buy another striker, who knows? But yeah, they are struggling. I mean, the fact that they still scored 4 goals from those 2 games says a lot about what's going on around them. But yeah, they need to get them strikers firing ASAP.
It might just be enough for them, though, to be honest.
Maybe. Well, I mean, we've covered the games. We did well. Did it as quick as we could. Now we come to predictions for next week, and then we can call it a night. So I hope you've got your game all sorted, mate. So do you want to give your game first, whatever that one was?
Yeah, I'm going to go Man City 3-0. The lunchtime kickoff on Saturday.
So that's your game, is it?
Yes, please.
Okie doke. So I have got the scores from the other boys regarding your game. Jason seems to think along the same lines as you. He's gone for Man City 4-0. And bearing in mind, I haven't told him what your prediction was, so you know that says a lot. That would certainly scare Wolves, bearing in mind their defence is one of the best this season. And funny enough, Cookie has also said Man City 4-0. Do you know what? I can't say I'm too surprised. I think I'm going to go with you, Koss. I think I'm going to join you and say Man City 3. I don't think Wolves will score. I think they are struggling for goals. So that's mine. My game, and this was pre the game tonight, was actually a big one. I chose Palace Everton.
Huge game.
Yeah, that is a huge game.
Huge game after that result.
It's even more so now, yeah. I've actually gone 2-2.
Do you know what? That was literally get out of my head. Literally about to say the same.
I think Cookie's gone for revenge. Bearing in mind he said Palace will win 2-1. Jason has gone with his head and said Everton will win 2-1. Where are you going?
I'm going to follow you there, mate.
You are,
literally,
yeah.
You were in my head there. I was going to say 2-2. I probably would have said a Palace win initially. However, after seeing Everton tonight, they look hungry, man.
Different game, yeah. Different game altogether. Fair enough. Cookie's game is Brentford-Watford.
That's difficult.
That is difficult. Cookie's gone 1-1. I've gone 2-1 Watford. And Jason's gone 2-1 Brentford.
I'm going to go 1-0 Watford. just to go a little bit different to you boys.
Cool. And the final game, which was Jace, was Arsenal Southampton.
Again, does today's result change?
Well, this is the thing. I got the predictions. I got Cookie's prediction before the game, that's for sure, because he said Arsenal will win 2-0. I'd love to ask him now. Funny enough, I did say, and this was pre-game as well, so you've got the benefit of seeing the game. I said 2-1 Arsenal, and Jason said 3-1 Arsenal. So where are you going?
I'm still going along the 2-1 Arsenal.
Okay, cool. And just like that, our predictions for the next week are done. The only thing you have got to do, though, mate, if you've got it, I don't know if you have, is you've got to move two teams up and down. I'm not going to lie, I was even unprepared for this one. I've just surprised myself. I am, however, going to move Leicester because I had them in fifth at the moment. I'm going to move them down, which puts Spurs in fifth. Not that I'm saying I think Spurs will finish fifth. I would have moved Leicester again if Arsenal had won tonight, but they've gone and thrown a spanner in the works, so I won't touch that one. I will, however, move Villa up to 12th and Leeds down to 13th. So you can move one team up twice if you want to, or you can move two teams up or down once.
I'm going to put Brighton up and I'm going to put Manchester United up.
Cool.
Man United are fifth. Mm-hmm. And what do they say? Brighton are 12th.
Fair enough. All good.
I'll just add that.
So yeah, a bit of an odd week for TFD. No Wheel of Wonder for the first time in its history. That's upset me a little bit. Maybe I'm going to have to come out with a bang, bearing in mind all four of us are on next week. But we had a lot to get through today, I think it's fair to say. So we did as good a job as we could in Prime Week. And then obviously the weekend of football. Well, good speaking to you, mate.
Same to you, mate. It's lovely to see you again.
I will speak to you. If you're on next week, you're on. If you're not, then no worries. It's in the three of our hands, and I'll have to keep them two in control.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Shame you won't be here to just give Cookie a bit of a, you know, but I'll do it for you, no doubt. I can't wait.
There's no hard feelings.
No, I bet. Of course. Well, pleasure as always, and join us in, what is it, episode 29 already, bloody hell. So yeah, we'll see you next week.
See you next time.